And God has already said they don't. And they won't, because they are scornful men. Scornful men. Now, we're looking at a very, very challenging moment in world history right now. Very, very challenging moment. I brought up the matter of Mahmoud Abbas. A two and a half page article concerning him in the latest issue of the Jerusalem Post. Does he really want a deal? Does he really want peace? And if so, why has he been so reluctant to enter into direct talks, and why is he so keen to leave them? Well, for one thing, he has this idea that he's got the U.S. in his pocket, because he's had commitments from the Obama administration in secret. They've committed to him that they're going to make Israel stop building in Judea and Samaria. They're going to give the Palestinians half of Jerusalem. They've already made these commitments behind the scenes to... So why should he participate in a peace agreement? Why should he be willing to give up anything? And by the way, he sees how the United States and the Western world have all been coming against Israel, and he says, hey, what have I got to lose? I'll just bide my time and wait. And ultimately, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to be willing to cease the building, and therefore, I will withdraw, because he refuses to meet conditions, and the world will come against Israel again, and ultimately will compel Israel through the security group in the United Nations. They will declare a Palestinian state, and I won't have to give up a single thing. That's his viewpoint. And, quite frankly, he and the Arab world, the Muslim world, do not want a peace agreement. Not really. Because they will lose their political pawn that is the only real power they have anymore to twist the mind and heart of a secular West and poison them against Israel. And that's why an article came out, Obama blackmailing Israel amid U.S. summit. Now, I promised you the headline from Israeli National Radio and Israeli National News, Getting Ready for the World to Begin. Really? Talking about Rosh Hashanah coming up on September 9th, the Feast of Trumpet, the head of the year, and you will return. Here's the passage of Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. And you will return to the Lord your God, you and your children. The divine promise of repentance and reconciliation between God and His children is the message of the days preceding the awesome day of Rosh Hashanah, when the trumpet sounds. Question. Are we willing to return before the final trumpet sounds? Because the trumpet is going to sound. Christ is going to come at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Some will be raised to everlasting life, and others to everlasting damnation. Return. That's why we've made available the book, The Return. God says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Your gift of $12 or more to Save America Ministries will put this dynamic book in your hands. Life-changing, The Return. This is what it's about, friends. We must return. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and make sure you get your Jewish calendar. It begins September now and goes for 16 months. Your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries, they're going very, very quickly. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, $13 plus $5 postage and handling. God bless you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the repentance of God's people, both Jew and Gentile.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crossmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, Hail, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we look forward to your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, you'll be pleased to know that President Obama has asked and demanded that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Premier of Israel, hold troops with Mr. Abbas, who is the President of the PLO, Fatah Group of Palestinians. Now, who does Mr. Abbas represent? He doesn't represent anybody. They had an election in the Palestinian area, and Hamas won the election. But, of course, we say, well, the Hamas is a terrorist group, which they are, so we will not recognize them, so we will simply pick somebody else. And why we decided Mr. Abbas is going to be the leader of the Palestinians, even though he has very little support among the Palestinian people. In fact, they hate him because he's totally corrupt. Hamas is ruthless, but at least they're honest. They help the people there. They provide the welfare benefits for the people with what they have. Now, where did Hamas come from? It was created by the Central Intelligence Agency. Hamas, this wicked terrorist group, was created by the Central Intelligence Agency. This is covered in a book we offer called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game by Robert Dreyfus, but you can go up on the Internet and find this in a number of places. The Hamas works for the Mossad. Mossad's subservient to the CIA. And the CIA and Mossad created Hamas. They wanted certainly another enemy. You've got to have enemies. How can you have wars and revolutions and violence if you don't have enemies? And so they created Hamas, and certainly the people support Hamas. They do not support Mr. Abbas. So what are we doing to help Mr. Abbas? Why we give several $100 million to train his military? That's the Fatah military, Palestinian terrorists that we're training with American weapons, with American money, and I think it's $150 million we put into the training of these people, which eventually will be used to fight against Israel, because of course it doesn't matter whether you're Fatah or whether you're Hamas, they both hate Israel and want to destroy it. And certainly, they're both totally intolerant of any concepts of individual freedom or the right of the Israeli state to exist. But don't you worry, we're financing Israel as well. So we certainly actually finance the Fatah group. And I'm sure indirectly we're financing Hamas. They may be getting money from some of the other Israeli states, or I should say Arab states. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, we fund both sides. We funded both sides in the Iraq-Iran war. We created Hamas. You would think occasionally our people in Washington, D.C. would make a mistake in our favor, but they never do, because, of course, they don't represent us. They represent what I call the invisible government. And there is an invisible government. It works through the, here in the United States, through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. In England, it works through the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And I was just rereading the Anglo-American Establishment. If you have a copy, you need to get it out and read where Professor Quigley talks about, it is terrifying to think that one group could have this much power. He's talking about the Milner Group. He's writing in 1949. And he says, no country which values freedom should allow a small group of people to be able to control the government, to be able to control the media, to be able to control the writing of history at that time, to be able to set up government panels to investigate what it's doing, and then, of course, control the outcome. No country which wants its freedom should allow that to happen. Well, it's happened here in America. The American Extension, the Royal Institutes, the Council on Foreign Relations. Give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're waiting for people to call in. So basically, of course, we're going to have the so-called peace negotiations between Mr. Abbas and between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but they are both controlled by exactly the same people. And those of you who heard Barry Shamus's analysis of Netanyahu and how this $12,000 a year furniture salesman living in Israel happens to plan and put on an international terrorist program. And, of course, who comes to this program put on by the furniture salesman but George Herbert Walker Bush and George Shultz and William Pearl and the head of the CIA? Why did they come on to a seminar put on by a furniture salesman? Because he wasn't a furniture salesman at all. He was simply carrying out the dictates of the people who controlled him. And Benjamin Netanyahu had been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and now, of course, he was being prepared to become the premier of Israel. And then, of course, after the conference, then suddenly he received a government appointment. Now, a lot of people work in the Israeli Foreign Service. I mean, they worked there for years waiting for a good assignment. And the most desired assignment in all of Israel is to be the deputy ambassador to the United Nations. Not the ambassador, but the deputy ambassador. That's the number two man, certainly, in the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. And who do you think they give that assignment to? Well, they give it to the furniture salesman, Benjamin Netanyahu. Ladies and gentlemen, these things don't just happen. Benjamin Netanyahu is simply being controlled by the invisible government, the people who control both political parties here and our media, and control and write our history. And as a result, most people don't even understand that we have one political party controlled by exactly the same people. And we go to the polls every 4 years to vote for the candidates of their choice. We throw the rascals out. We feel real good, but nothing changes. Professor Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, was actually completed in 1949, and no publisher in the United States would publish it. And the book languished until after Professor Quigley died. Then, of course, it was published in 1981 by a gentleman who learned about the manuscript. Somebody there at Georgetown University had given him a copy of the manuscript. I got the manuscript when I was there, but I never had the presence of mind to actually publish it. But this gentleman did. He published it in really, of course, with a phony publishing house with an address at Grand Central Station in New York City. And of course, there's no post office box there. Just, he today will not even talk about the book. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's Open Line Wednesday, and we look forward to your calls. Unless you want to hear a monologue all evening. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I'm talking about the peace negotiations between Netanyahu and Abbas. So they're being held in the White House. And ladies and gentlemen, why the invisible government, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, controls both Abbas and Netanyahu, and it's all political theater. It's all put on to give the people the idea that we're trying to establish peace over there, and we're really not. In fact, what's happening over in Israel today is the tempo of violence is increasing and increasing dramatically. I just got something from Cheryl Hancock, who was with us last night, and she was saying that Hamas is really very, very brutal. Now, this is the organization set up by the American CIA, and they will take people from Fatah. They'll shoot them in the legs to cripple them. They'll gouge out their eyes and leave them totally blinded, and they're actually taking a lot of these victims of Hamas brutality and sending them to Ramallah. So that people will live in fear of Hamas, because Hamas control exists totally by instilling fear in everybody. Well, we've got some callers now. So let's go to, we've got Tony calling from Michigan. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tony. What would you want to cover?
Hi, and how are you doing? About you talk about Israel and the Palestinians.
I was watching Al Jazeera
TV tonight, and they were showing all the Palestinians talking about how Israel did this and Israel did that, and how they Israel killed so many of them and their women. But they wasn't talking about how what they've done. all the suicide bombers. Remember about 3 or 4 years ago, there was every 2 or 3 days? So there will be no peace.
But you have to understand, Tony, that they control both sides. I mean, basically, this is all political theater. Yes, Hamas is terrible.
For what reason?
Why? Because we're moving us into a war with a Muslim world, and this is going to happen. Basically, they want to get as many Jews over there in Israel as they can, because, of course, behind all of this is a Luciferian force, and Lucifer hates Jews because... for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but I think that God has a special plan for the Jewish people. I think he's brought them back to the Holy Land, and Lucifer wants to destroy them. I don't think he's going to succeed, but I think we're moving into some very difficult times for the Israeli people.
So what do you think about all the mosques that are being built in this country?
Well, I think but who's funding them? They're being built by Saudi Arabia. Why are we doing everything we can to help the Saudi Arabians certainly spread this radical form of Islam here? In fact, the Saudi Arabians are sending imams into our prisons where they are taking and they're converting many of the black prisoners to this radical form of Islam. They have over 60 terrorist training camps in this country financed by the Saudi Arabians. And the FBI refuses to do anything about them. You're never going to hear about this on 60 Minutes or 2020, but this is a reality. In fact, one of the speakers we're having at our conference is going to be Paul Williams, who's been to many of these terrorist training camps financed by our good friends in Saudi Arabia.
Now, today, Mayor Bloomberg in New York said he don't want them investigating where the money's coming from. Did you hear that?
Well, I think we ought to find out where the money is coming from. But
he don't want them to investigate it, Mayor Bloomberg.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg's part and parcel of this whole thing. He's a multi-billionaire, and basically, of course, his job is to he's saying, oh, it's perfectly all right to build a mosque. I don't think we should take either side. The issue on this thing is they're using this to try to get us to hate the Muslims. They're trying to build a hatred of the Muslim religion among the American people, just as they're trying to get hatred of America in the Muslim world. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. It's all preparation for a war. How can you have a war unless you got everybody hating everybody else?
Well, you're right, because it's terrible. I know in France they have the Muslim out in the street, which for now the cars can't drive down the street. They got a certain hour to go there, and they worship in the middle of the street. It's just terrible.
Basically, of course, what they've done is they've invited all these Muslims to come into Europe, and it's creating tremendous political instability. But they've done the same thing here in the United States, and they changed back in 1966 the immigration laws. We can thank Teddy Kennedy for that. And he said, these laws will not change the demographics of this country. I promise you, I swear to you, that these laws that I am putting in will not change the demographics of this country, and you go to, of course it did. He lied, but he is simply part and parcel of this whole world Luciferian movement. He was a totally evil man.
So, Sam, what do you think will happen? What's the outcome?
Well, I think we're going into a war with
the Bible.
I think we're going into a war with the Muslim world, and I think only God knows what's going to happen.
So, Sam, have you ever read Matthew 24?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
basically, those things are the wars and rumors of wars, and all of those things are coming to pass today. Hey, I got to run because I've got somebody else on the line.
But have a beautiful evening.
God bless, and
thanks
so much for calling. That's Tony calling from Michigan. She's there in Detroit. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we're going to see tremendous unrest in many of our major cities because of the racial divisions, and they're encouraging this sort of thing because they want the racial unrest. They want to turn the black against the Hispanic and the Hispanic against the Anglo. And then, of course, you get into some place like China, and you've got, by me, in Los Angeles, that was a slip of the tongue, because you get down there, you got more Vietnamese and Chinese. And in fact, if you go to a hotel in Los Angeles and you turn on television, you try to get an English-speaking station, you're going to look a long, long way before you find an English-speaking station. And this is done intentionally. They want to divide our country. They want a multicultural, multilingual country because that's how they're going to be able to create chaos here. Well, let's go to Dean, who's calling from the great state of Washington. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Dean. How are you doing?
I'm blessed, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I always look forward to Wednesday evening and the open lines.
And so do I. I have a question tonight. I was wondering, you know, there's something new going on, and I was hoping that you could, what are czars? Czars used to be something from another country when I was young growing up. Other countries had czars. All of a sudden, and I, you know, where is it in the Constitution? Where is it? All of a sudden we have czars.
Well, the term really began over in Russia, and the Russia had czars. These were people who would actually control the common people, and the term was simply transposed over here. We've got far more czars here in the United States than the Russian king, or they called the Tsar of Russia. It's simply a term for a ruler. Now, we actually had during the First World War. Bernard Baruch was considered the czar of military mobilization, and he was, in other words, he had supreme power, not answerable to Congress, not answerable to the people. He had the power from military mobilization to prepare America to go into the senseless First World War, which we never
saw. You're saying that we had one all the way back then.
He was called the Tsar at that time, and we had some Tsars during the Second World War. But Obama has more Tsars than anybody else ever has. And what they are simply are they're people who rule, whether it be an industry or some specific function, without the authorization of Congress, without the authorization of the people. It is simply somebody with unlimited power. We have a car Tsar, and he's in charge of the certainly of the automotive industry, and that's really that's General Motors. And what's the Tsar doing? Why, he's creating new jobs. That's his job, create new jobs. It just happens all the jobs we're creating with our $60 billion we gave to General Motors are over in China. They're over in India. But he's not producing jobs here. Well, they did open the production lines there in Detroit. They're building Volt cars. They called back 27,000 workers to build a car. It's going to cost $41,000, but of course they lose money on every car. At $41,000, they lose money at every car. The only reason they're going to get people to buy them is because, of course, they're going to give them a tax credit, I think $7,000 or $8,000. But where does the tax credit come from? Comes from you. Who makes up the loss on every car? You do. And basically, this is what the American people really don't understand, is that we have people in Washington, D.C. who say, we want to get jobs in America. And the truth of the matter is they do not want to get jobs in America. They want to send our jobs overseas. They want the illegal immigrants here because they're driving down our salaries. They want to bring in certainly people with H-1B visas because they'll work for less. They want to outsource our industry, in fact, and our jobs. In fact, the Obama administration recently gave $22 million to a company over in India, and what are they going to do? They're going to teach the Indians in India to speak better English so that we can outsource our jobs over there more readily. People don't understand. They say one thing, they have a different agenda, and it is not Barack Obama. He is simply a front for what I call the invisible government. But the czar is simply an unconstitutional position with unlimited power that will always be misused because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts everybody, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Dean, did you have another question?
I'd like to say that the czar is a completely foreign term. I don't care if we had it back in World War One. We had one or two of them along the way. The fact that people get on CBS, NBC, and the major networks, and this is the commonplace now, everyone accepts something that it comes from another... I mean, I've never heard a word so foreign to the English language or to America than czar.
You're absolutely right. In fact, we used to speak of the czar of Russia. The king of Russia was the czar. And, of course, you're absolutely right. But isn't it interesting how they can mold our minds and how suddenly we accept these terms?
Nobody even ever says anything. The actor on ABC never even suggest that. You know, they just use these words and they smile.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Dan, you go right ahead. I agree with you. Everything you're saying, go right ahead.
I have one more thing to say, and that is that
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The Bilderbergers. And Daniel Estulin's book on the Bilderbergers, Kent was just saying that very recently, perhaps just last night, he gave an interview to somebody from the Atlantic Monthly, and there he was talking about the Council on Foreign Relations. he sounds just like we do, but believe me, he has a totally different foundation because he was put in power by the establishment. He's been kept in power by the establishment. He's a very close friend of David Rockefeller's daughters and is a source of reference. It would be David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs. We suggest you get it and you read it and you understand what this is all about. We create the best enemies money could buy, and Fidel was one of them. Go right ahead.
Yeah, no, I think actually it wasn't, he was actually visited by somebody from the Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, okay, fine. Okay, he didn't talk about it.
It might be that this reporter was with the Council on Foreign Relations also, but
I thought it was... Well, what was the relations of the Council on Foreign Relations of the visit then?
Well, the, apparently over down there, you know, he was talking about the, situation in the Middle East, I think, was what they said they were talking about. Now, why they think he's an expert on it or not, maybe they think he can use him as a broker.
Well, I think that basically, because what he has talked about is the danger of a war in the Middle East and that could lead to a nuclear war, and I agree with him. Just because Fidel Castro says it doesn't mean it isn't true. So I think he's playing a part, Kent. I think all of this is playing a part. And the American people would not know about these things if they didn't want you to know about it.
It's pretty interesting that he seems to be almost following your lead.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's exactly, I personally believe that's why he's doing what he's doing, so they can equate us with him. Like they use this game all the time. People come out and they say the truth and they'll equate him with Lyndon LaRouche. Oh my goodness, that guy's got to be terrible because he met Lyndon LaRouche one time and you know what that means. And then they go into all these long attacks on Lyndon LaRouche to discredit the guy that is really putting out something quite honest who had a meeting or maybe even was associated with Lyndon LaRouche at one time. But everything is to discredit those people trying to tell the truth. And I don't think Fidel Castro is really about to warn the people about what's really going on. I think he's playing a part. He is an actor on this stage, just like Arafat was and Ahmadinejad was, and yes, even Barack Obama. But go right ahead.
No, it's interesting that all of a sudden he's been sick for a while, but I guess now he's pretty well healed, but it's interesting that all of a sudden he's so active in all these things.
Well, you keep us your praise of what he's saying. Right now, though, we've got to go to Bill, who's calling us from Kennerick, Washington. Thanks very much for calling, Kent. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Doing fine. Good to speak with you, Dr. Stan. Say, I have two questions. Do you remember back in April of last year, 2009, the famous photo op incident with the Air Force One and the Statue of Liberty? Remember that incident?
Oh, yeah. When the Air Force One flew over the Statue of Liberty over New York, yeah.
Yes. Well, I just wondered, do you think that there was any message being sent that incident, or do you think it was purely accident?
I have no idea. And I'm going to be like the unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted but said off the record he had no comment. I really don't know. I know why you're suspicious, but I can't hazard a guess.
It seemed like such an odd coincidence that an airliner would be flying so near Manhattan, downtown Manhattan.
You're absolutely right. And
why
they did it, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe they're just trying to scare us, keep us constantly on edge. Who knows?
Could be. I thought maybe President Obama might be wanting to show solidarity with someone.
Well, I don't think he was on board the plane at that time.
No.
Okay.
I know,
what was your other question, Bill?
Message. Okay. My other question is, with Obama's poll numbers dropping, do you think that he is just like a kamikaze socialist and willing to take the fall just to further his agenda, or do you think he has something up his sleeve?
Well, I think that Obama is simply an actor. I think that he is put in power by the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they will take him out of power if they don't want him there. I mean, basically, there's so much material up on the Internet that says Obama is a Marxist. Obama is a communist. Obama is a Muslim. Obama is gay. Well, all of this is simply is a distraction. The important thing is that Obama is simply put forward, put in power by the Trilateral Commission. They're the people who surround him. They're the people who tell him what to do. do not let them focus your attention on Obama. It is the people behind Obama that you have to be concerned about. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yes, it does. Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. This is Dr. Stan back here, and let's go to Duke, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Duke. How are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What part of Texas are you in?
I'm in Galveston.
All right. Good to have you with us. Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Have you ever heard, since we're on the subject of the media promoting Christians against Jews, and America against the Muslims, have you ever heard of the letter written by from Albert Pike to Mazzani?
Yes, we have. Yeah, I've heard of it. There's a lot to that letter that people don't really know the background behind it. But go ahead. What was the point you wanted to make?
Well, my point was what is going on today follows that pretty much down to a T, doesn't it?
It certainly does. In other words, basically, for our listeners out there, this letter allegedly written by Mazzini to Albert Pike, and Mazzini was a revolutionary. He had a group known as the Carbonari, but they were part of this whole world Luciferian movement, and he was a good friend of Albert Pike, who headed the Luciferian movement in the United States. And Mazzini said there were going to have to be three world wars. Well, we've had first world. This letter was written about 1871 or 1872. Now, whether it is accurate or not is the other thing, but certainly we know that we've had the First World War, we've had the Second World War, and everything points to the fact we're heading towards a Third World War. I've tried to track down the letter. In fact, the closest we got to it was, of course, it originally appeared in a book by Commander Guy Carr called Pawns in the Game, and it was a very rather anti-Semitic book written by a Canadian naval commander. But in that book, he talked about this letter from Mazzini to Albert Pike, and said that the letter was over at the British Museum, and he had seen it, but we've never been able to get a copy of it. And had a friend who actually tried to track it down. He got the man who had Commander Carr's papers after he died, and he was going to have a meeting with him. And just about 2 days before the meeting was to be held, where he was going to get a chance to see the copy of the letter, where this man died under, well, to say, strange circumstances. This is the sort of thing that goes on, but hang on there for just a moment there, Duke. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our caller right now is Duke. He's calling from Galveston, Texas, asking about the letter from Mazzini to Albert Pike. We talked a little bit about the letter and the background, as much as we know about the letter. But the letter said that there were going to have to be three world wars. The letter was written in 1871 and by the Luciferian, man who headed the Carbonaris in Italy, to Sidney Albert Pike, who led the Luciferian movement in the United States at that time, along with Madame Blavatsky. But basically, we've had the First World War, we've had the Second World War, and everything points to the fact we're moving towards World War III. Now, is there anything else, Duke?
I have one quick question and a quick comment.
Go right ahead.
When was that book written about the letters?
Oh, this was probably written somewhere in the 1950s or 60s. The book is Pawns in the Game. It's written by Commander Guy Carr, and you can get it on the internet. It's got a lot of great information in it. If it were just there was a fair amount of anti-Semitic, in other words, it's all the Jews behind this, why, it's a great book, but that distracts from its legitimacy. And I will tell you that Commander Carr, before he died, began to see the error of his ways, and he wrote a book, Satan, I think, King of This World, something like that. It came out after he died, but basically he recognized this was not a Jewish conspiracy, but a satanic conspiracy that was actually focusing attention on the Jews so that people wouldn't understand that these satanic groups are operating in the world today. They're holding their coven meetings, and some of them are held at the highest levels of our government and in the Vatican itself.
My comment, Dr. Blaylock was especially excellent last night.
He's always, I always love to have Russell on. He did a great job. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
He was over the top last night.
Right.
He is so knowledgeable. You know, he brought us up the American Medical Association and the Rockefeller connection.
You're absolutely right. That would probably be a tape of the month. If you're a tape of the month club member, they would probably be sending that a tape out. Anything else you'd like to say? But it's certainly, for those who didn't hear the program, it was about Obamacare and what this is really all about and how it will lead to the destruction of our nation. You're right. Russell did a great job. I'm privileged to have him as a friend and privileged to have him on the program.
I would love to hear some more about the Rockefeller connection with the Federal Drug Administration and, several other things he's involved in.
Well, they all tie together, and the Rockefeller Foundation is one of the most evil and demonic organizations in this country today, and that's covered in a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, written back in 1958. We've kept it in print for the last 20 years because it's so important. Foundations, Their Power and Influence by Rennie Worms are available from Radio Liberty. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Duke.
Well, thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. And let's go to Carlos calling from Carson, California. No, we've got Robert calling from Iowa. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Well, Dr. Stan, each evening my wife and I do trivia cards, just for entertainment, keep our mind sharp. And we came across this question tonight. What three countries coincidentally tested nuclear weapons on October 15th, 1970?
I haven't the slightest idea. What three countries did test them at that time?
Yeah, but and the answer is USA, Russia, and China.
All right, fine. Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised. It's certainly, but remember, Russia got the information from the United States. I mean, they sent the Rosenbergs to the death chamber because, and they knew Mrs. Rosenberg wasn't involved in it at all. I think her husband probably was. He was a traitor to our country. But the real information came from Harry Hopkins, who lived in the White House. This is covered in a book called The Shanghai Conspiracy. Oh, from Major Jordan's diary. It's an excellent book. The United States sent the plans and the heavy water and deuterium all the way over to Russia during the Second World War so they could build their nuclear weapons. But of course,
I remember that trial quite well.
Right.
But can you think of anything spookier than that? The three greatest powers in the world all setting off nuclear bombs at the same time, and they said it was coincidentally.
Well, I'll tell you what's even more frightening is the fact that probably we are going into a nuclear war. The next war is going to be a nuclear war because they really want to kill off most of the people in the world. And you say that doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense, but we're not dealing with logical people. We're dealing with people who have an intense hatred of humanity because it's God's highest creation. And I just hope and pray that they fail. But I think terrible times lie ahead, and I think this nuclear war is coming. When, I can't tell you, but it's not that far away.
Yeah. Well, there must have been a lot of goodies floating around the air after that day.
I'm sure there were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless, and thanks so very much. Yeah. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295, and we've got Tim calling from Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. Dr. Stan, I think that they're setting us up here for another 9/11. You look at Rod Blagojevich, former governor of Illinois. They framed him up and got him out of there. They're talking about putting Rahm Emanuel in. He could easily win the mayor for Chicago. It's going to be in Chicago. The Sears Tower was sold. Now it's called the Willis Tower.
And you know who bought it, don't you?
No, I don't.
A fellow named Larry Silverstein.
You got to be kidding, sir.
Check it out. Somebody told me that. I said, you got to be kidding, and I checked it out. It's true. Go ahead.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I was in Chicago back in February, and it was reported on WLS, the big station there, that, oh, they caught a taxi cab driver in a possible terrorist. So they conditioned our mind there. Then yesterday we got the guys from Detroit that went to Chicago and flew to Amsterdam, right? So they're conditioning our brain. I think Chicago is going to be the, and you just certified that with Larry Silverstein, if that's true.
Well, maybe somebody could check it out on the Internet and verify it. So you go over the Internet and check it out, and if I'm wrong, give us a call. And if I'm right, give us a call. But I believe that is correct. And I don't know where the attack is going to be, but I think that there are going to be some nuclear attacks here in this country, and I believe that there's going to be civil unrest. There may even be an EMP attack. That would be attack up in the stratosphere. Basically, they had an opportunity recently. They put some legislation before the Senate. It would cost maybe $6 billion to protect the country. If they put off an EMP attack, it would wipe out all of our electronics in this country, and America would revert to, not quite the Stone Age, but we're about where we were in 1900. The Senate could have spent $6 billion, and they voted the bill down. And you ask yourself, why would they do something that stupid unintentionally unless they want to destroy the infrastructure in this country? So we're just going to have to wait and see. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, back in 2008, Rod Blagojevich, governor of Illinois, he saved the taxpayers millions of dollars by purchasing drugs from Canada. And I think this is why they put the hammer down on him, too. See, because the drug dealers in U.S., the pharmaceutical companies, you better not be buying no drugs from across the, over there in Canada. And I think that's why they started the hammer, sending the FBI to frame him up.
Well, the thing is, why did they have the bugs in his office? Why were they bugging his telephone and bugging his office? I mean, what crime would he have been suspected of? Did they have warrants to do this sort of thing? What was the justification for the warrants? They go after people. Remember how they went after Elliot Spitzer with the story of the prostitute? You know why they did that? Because he'd written an article for the Washington Post pointing out that they knew that the whole financial system was going to come down. All 50 of the state attorney generals, and he was one of them, had tried to stop this predatory lending practices because they said it's going to bring down our economic system, going to bring the whole thing down. And the Bush administration intervened and said, no, you cannot, the states cannot protect their people. They cannot protect this country. Leave it to the federal government. And, of course, the federal government didn't do anything. And it was certainly in February, as I remember, early in February, when Spitzer wrote this article, it appeared in the Washington Post, and 3 weeks later, suddenly the FBI just leaks this article. You're not supposed to leak information to the press on an investigation. They leak this story about his escapades with a prostitute. What you do, if you don't like the message, you destroy the messenger, and that's what they did, and there may very well be that's what Blagojevich is all about. I have a hard time pronouncing that. Anyway, God bless. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, one more thing, Dr. Stan. Back in 2009 in August, one of the lawyers that was working for Rod Blagojevich, his body was found sitting in his Cadillac in the lumber yard in Chicago.
Well, I tell you, an awful lot of people die of an awful lot of strange deaths, don't they?
Well, you didn't hear that on CNN. I know that.
I know. Well, I tell you what, Sydney, there was a fellow, his name was Jim Keith. And he wrote a book called OK Bomb, in which he said that Timothy McVeigh had told his sister, Jennifer, that he had actually working for the Special Forces team involved in illegal activities, and that's what the Oklahoma City bombing was all about. It was a government operation. It was very interesting that shortly after that, Jim Keith died after a very minor orthopedic surgical procedure. Could have been accident, but just a few weeks later, his publisher died, and then a few weeks later, his ex-wife died. All coincidences. And if you believe that, you believe anything. Also, there's a book called out, A Secret Worth Dying For. It was written by Timothy McVeigh's cellmate there in prison. And Timothy McVeigh told him the same story. The book, A Secret Worth Dying For, you can get up on the Internet. He told the same story to Terry Nichols. You'll never hear this from the other commentators. Hey, we got to run. Thanks so much
for
calling.
All right, sir.
God bless. Let's go to Carlos, who's calling from Carson, California. Hi, Carlos. How are you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan, and you're as vibrant as usual. Dr. Stan, you guys were talking about the Rockefeller Foundation, and of course there's another sinister organization, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, where Henry Kissinger got his start through the Rockefeller chain way back in the 50s, I believe. And that Rockefeller Brothers Fund, I believe, may have a connection with the imam that's thinking of building the mosque at Ground Zero. I said, through an internet article that I read, the imam has connections, apparently, with the Aspen Institute, which is in turn has connections with the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So here we have the imam, whose venture of building the mosque over there is generating a lot of hate rhetoric, which will probably is being used as a manufactured crisis to pave the way for the enhancement of hate crime laws and possibly the startup of hate speech laws, which, you know, the New World Order thrives on creating crisis because to then unleash certain draconian laws on the population. And I believe the whole thing, apart from being the using it as a Hegelian dialectic pitting one group against the other, the building of a mosque is also going to pave the way for the germination of all these hate crime laws and hate speech laws.
You may very well be right, Carlos. I certainly wouldn't disagree with you at all, but I do believe it's being this whole thing is to dramatize the threat of the Muslims. My goodness, they want to build a mosque in the shadow of the World Trade Center building. Actually, it's a couple of blocks away. It's not a mosque. It doesn't have any minaret. It doesn't have any dome on it at all. It's a 13-story building. But this whole thing is being set up by a guy who works very closely with the FBI. His name is Iman Faisal, F-E-I-S-A-L. And Iman Faisal is very close to the FBI. I suspect he's very close to other people. I wish we knew who's putting the money up. It's all political theater aimed at perhaps getting the hate laws through, but even more than that, simply crystallizing our nation and getting Americans to hate the Muslims who killed all those people in the Twin Towers, and now they want to deprecate this site and the memorial to those people who died. Just between you and me, I don't think the planes brought down the Twin Towers. They certainly didn't bring down Building Number 7. There were explosives in those buildings. That's how they vaporized 1,100 bodies. That's why we had all the clouds of dust. That something vaporized the cement. In fact, there wasn't even any furniture left after this pancake collapse. It was all vaporized. How do you vaporize bodies with a pancake collapse? Hey, anything else you want to say, Carlos, before we let you go?
Well, yes, you guys were talking also about Timothy McVeigh right now, and I happened to read one time where he was working at a place that specialized in artificial intelligence, company that specialized in artificial intelligence, and he always mentioned that he thought he was being mind controlled. He used to hear voices.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised. This is what they do with a lot of the people in the special forces, and a lot of them are into the occult. A lot of them certainly would be chipped. These people join the special forces because they're patriots, without ever realizing they're simply pawns in a vicious game. Hey, I'm going to let you go. Is there anything else you want to say before we let you go, Carlos?
Well, just to add to that, he was one of the people that had contact with Johnny West, the psychiatrist that worked on the MKUltra CIA mind control experiment.
You're absolutely right. Jolly West was down there visiting Timothy McVeigh in the prison in Colorado. We had this from his closest friend. We talked to him. We got this from two other sources. Why was Jolly West, the CIA mind control expert, visiting Timothy McVeigh there in the prison? Nobody ever wants to talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned it.
And then not only that, Jolly West also visited Jack Ruby while he was in prison.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised, but you don't have to worry. Jolly West died shortly after Timothy McVeigh was supposedly executed. And there was a man who claimed that he wasn't executed. His name was William Cooper. I don't know if you ever listened to William Cooper. He had a television program very much like ours. He wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse. And he kept playing on his program a clip from a radio interview with a woman who'd been there the night that Timothy McVeigh was executed. And this woman who'd witnessed the execution said, I didn't know you continued to breathe after you were dead. And he would play that over and over again. I didn't know you would breathe after you were dead. I didn't know you breathed after you were dead. And shortly thereafter, a SWAT team came out and killed William Cooper, who did talk radio like I do. Hey, we're out of time, Carlos. God bless
you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Joe calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. What part of Michigan are you from?
I'm calling from Howell, Michigan.
All right. Is that close to Denver? Pardon me, is that close to Detroit or Flint or Lansing?
Yeah. So Flint.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. I got three questions for you.
All right.
The first is, I've been told for years, and I've just come to believe it, that the Federal Reserve System is a for-profit corporation that has never paid 1 cent in taxes and has never been publicly audited. My question on that one is, is it, to your understanding, are they truly a for-profit corporation?
No, they are a privately owned central bank. And theoretically, they give all of their profits back to the federal government. Now, believe me, some of the profits will go to the banks that own the stock in the Fed. But it is a privately owned central bank. It has never been audited. And basically, it controls the monetary system of our government. And it's privately owned. And, of course, it's owned by the banks who own our government.
Okay, so then it's not considered a corporation?
Oh, it's a corporation, but it is a corporation, right.
Okay,
but
so
it is basically it's not a for-profit corporation because it returns supposedly its profits to the treasury.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
He received money from us through the stimulus package, and somehow they funneled that money to Goldman Sachs, correct?
Yes, and to J.P. Morgan Chase, and of course to Citigroup and all their friends.
How were they able to do that? I mean,
very simply, Timothy Geithner and their friends. Timothy Geithner is trilateralist, Goldman Sachs is trilateralist, J.P. Morgan Chase is trilateralist. Whether it's Hank or Maurice Goldberg, I can't remember which one it is. No, it's. I won't. Anyway, the fellow who was in charge of the AIG. Basically, they're all tied into the Trilateral Commission. And basically, AIG said, we're going to have real troubles if we go down, why the whole economic system goes down. We need money. So we gave them $82 billion. Whereupon they said, well, we've got some derivative contracts with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and the others, and we need to give them the money after all. We owe it to them. Well, they didn't have the money. So they gave our money, $12 billion to Goldman Sachs, $12 billion to J.P. Morgan Chase. I think there was $30 or $40 billion of American taxpayers' money we gave to them. And I've forgotten whether we gave them $82 billion or $182 billion. When you're dealing with sums of that, it doesn't really matter. But it was all a scam. And basically what you're doing is really seeing the greatest transfer of wealth that's ever occurred in the world. And what is happening, we're transferring the wealth of the American people and of unborn generations to this small group of very evil people who are the Brotherhood of Darkness, work through the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm going to have to let you go. We're out of time. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time. I want to remind you we're having our all-day conference on the 17th of October. Hope you can come. We're bringing in great guests. We're serving lunch. You'll need reservations. That's the 17th of October. And then, of course, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we hope that you'll want to come. If you want to know how they created this whole financial scam, you need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon. And we have a series of pamphlets on the financial breakdown. I've forgotten the exact title, but they're simply about 15 newsletters where we went over this point by point by point, how they created this whole financial collapse. Why did they do it? Well, because I believe this is the time when they intend to destroy the infrastructure of our society, and out of the chaos that is going to result will come this one-world government. If you don't believe that is the plan, you go up on the Internet and you type in Henry Kissinger, Herald Tribune, January 2009, Chance for a New World Order. Henry Kissinger, Herald Tribune, January 2009, Chance for a New World Order. And there Henry Kissinger will tell you that countries are going to have two choices, either chaos or join the new international financial order. That's what it's all about. And the international financial order is this one world government. And with that, of course, will come the destruction of Christianity. At least that's what they're going to want to do, because these people hate Christianity. Henry Kissinger has been deeply involved in the occult for many years, but of course you're never going to be told that, just as his good friend Robert Strange McNamara was. You remember Robert Strange McNamara? He's the man who controlled the Defense Department and set our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but never to be allowed to win. He's the man, of course, who ordered that the USS Liberty was not to receive any help. It was under attack by the Israeli forces, which had first been engaged by President Johnson and Robert Strange McNamara to sink the USS Liberty. And, of course, they wanted to kill everybody on board. If you haven't heard our four tape set of my interviews with the survivors of the Liberty, or we have a DVD on the Liberty, or we have a video on the Liberty, or we have the Liberty USS Liberty special, you need to get this. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Encourage others to listen to our programs there. You can hear us 9 hours a day on the Internet and on shortwave, satellite, and radio stations. but please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, but for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who actually publishes a newsletter that deals primarily with California and what's going on here. And, oh, people say, well, yeah, well, I live in New York, or I live in Michigan, but ladies and gentlemen, of course, California, if it were a country, would be the eighth largest country or economy in the entire world. And what happens to California is going to really foreshadow what's going to happen to other communities, other states across America. We have had in the past a certainly a vibrant economy, but this whole house of cards is coming down. As far as I'm concerned, everything suggests that certainly California is eventually going to have to default on its loans and default on its, and we're going to begin to see the begin to break down the structure of society. This is not imaginary, it's real. But I want Stephen to tell you, he does a wonderful job. If you do not take his newsletter, he doesn't charge for it. We get it every day and several times a week. Excellent summaries of what's going on. Stephen, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Oh, Dr. Stan, always a pleasure to be with you. Your neighborhood of California is a gorgeous part of the state.
Well, we're blessed to live here. I've lived here since about 1950, and I've never regretted it. But under any circumstances, I want you to tell us what's going on in California, because this is going to impact on people all across America listening to this program.
Well, I will tell you that a very significant bill passed last night in the legislature that will make it almost impossible for bankrupt cities in California to go bankrupt. And they will be forced to get permission from state agencies to go bankrupt. So it'll be up to the governor and the legislature, in effect, to determine whether a bankrupt city will continue being run by unions and special interests. And so because of that, there's a new movement in California called disincorporation. It's very new. There's a town, I think it's in either Marin or San Mateo County, a place called Half Moon Bay, beautiful name of a town, very pretty town. They're going bankrupt rather quickly, and they knew this bill was going to pass, so they've begun the process of disincorporating and turning themselves over to the county, so the county would have to absorb all the debts of the city. That's very good for the people in the city, very bad for the people in the county. And when you have a county like Los Angeles, which has 88 cities, possibly close to 20 close to bankruptcy, you could see that that would be a major fiscal disaster for the people of L.A. County. So it is a problem, and that was one of the major things that came out of the legislature last night, other than the fact that both the Republican and Democrat budgets were defeated.
No, but basically, Stephen, as far as this, cities can't go bankrupt. What will they do if they can't afford to meet their requirements? They can't afford to pay their pensions. They can't afford to pay their police and fire department and teachers. What are they going to do if they can't go bankrupt?
Well, teachers are in a separate school district. In the state of California, the school districts are run by special districts, not by the cities or counties. So that's a separate issue totally. As far as what happens when a city goes bankrupt, the city of Maywood in Los Angeles County is going bankrupt. So what they did was they fired all their employees. The city only has 3 employees left. They outsourced their firefighting and their police to the county, and the streets are dirty. So
didn't Bell go bankrupt, and didn't Vallejo go bankrupt?
Well, Vallejo did go bankrupt, and the courts, which took over the city, one of the ways they are putting the city back on fiscal stability is by they got rid of all the union contracts and forced the unions to take major cuts in order to get the city back. The city of Bell did not go bankrupt. They just had millions stolen from it, but they're not bankrupt yet. And interestingly enough, I'm glad that you brought that up, the city of Bell, over the last 5 or 6 years, has illegally taken approximately $4.25 million from the property owners of the city of Bell. And the state of California yesterday passed a bill that has the state repaying the $4.25 million to the property owners of Bell.
But how can they do that? The state doesn't have any money. They've got a $20 billion or maybe even a $40 billion deficit. How can they pay the bills of Bell?
Well, just like the federal government can spend trillions, they're going deeper in deficit, deeper in debt, and any day now we will start issuing IOUs instead of real money, and hopefully the state will continue until sometime after the first of the year, giving out IOUs, massive furloughs of employees, and then when we have a new governor, that's when I predict we'll finally have a budget. There's no reason to think that we're going to have a budget. Let me describe how much I know about that. On the 9th of September, without a budget, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is going for a 6-day tour of Asia, even though we don't have a budget. So he doesn't seem to care whether or not we have a budget. Last week was the first time since June he called a meeting of legislative leaders to discuss the budget. So it's obvious that Governor Schwarzenegger has given up the office of governor, though he likes the title, and on January 1st he'll lose the title of governor, and then maybe the next governor will consider a budget something important.
Well, no, because Schwarzenegger said he's not going to sign the budget unless it comes with pension reform, and of course the Democrats aren't going to give him pension reform, so he's essentially said, I'm not going to give it on this, and I agree with him, you've got to have pension reform, or he's going to bankrupt our state.
Well, the problem, Dr. Stan, is that every year he says that something in government has to be done on this issue or that issue, or he won't sign the budget. And then the guy breaks his word, no one believes him anymore, and no one even talks to him anymore because he's totally irrelevant in Sacramento. And so when he says that he won't sign a budget...
Hold that thought. Well, we were just talking with Stephen Frank. Certainly Arnold Schwarzenegger has said that he will not sign the budget for the state, while he is in office, unless there is certainly pension reform. They've got to do something to reform the pension system here. We have a $500 billion deficit here on the pension fund, and when the market turns down, there'll be even a bigger deficit for the pension funds. There's no way to fund this, and yet, of course, by law, why the first dollar that the state spends has to be on the pensions, not for police, not for fire department, not even for state employees. It's got to pay those pensions. We passed that legislation. That's the law of the state of California. And we're on a one-way track, Mr. Bankruptcy. Stephen's saying that, look, Governor Schwarzenegger is always making this statement, I'm not going to sign the budget, you know, unless this, that, or the other thing is in it. And then he reneges on it. So Stephen says that just nobody pays much attention to Arnold anymore. He's become more or less irrelevant. He's taking a trip over to Asia at the present time when the state has no budget and he's not going to enter the negotiations. So basically, Stephen, my understanding is that the state, the Democrats want to increase taxes and cut spending. The Republicans want to cut spending and of course, not increase taxes. So what's going to happen?
Well, we will have to wait till after January 1st when we have a new governor to see whether Jerry Brown or Meg Whitman would be able to put something together for 5.5 months worth of budget. We are spending money. On September 1st, which is today, the state of California stopped giving school districts money for categorical programs. Some of those include special ed, music, and English as a second language. So the school districts are now going to have to make up that money, and most of them are dipping into their reserves just to keep going anyway. So what the governor has done and the legislature has done, they're going to, over next year or so, not only have they bankrupted cities and counties, but now they're going after the school districts to bankrupt them. Because under state law and federal law, the school districts must provide those categorical services. And if they don't, they'll be fined by the federal government, and the federal government won't give them the federal money that they deserve. And the state will say, even though we're not giving you the money, you still have to provide those services, but there's no money for them. And that's just one area of government that is going to be affected, and that starts today, September 1st.
But, Stephen, you can't pay money you don't have. And there's no way the school districts can get additional funds. And suddenly, somewhere down the line, they're going to have to say, we don't want your federal funds. I mean, we're going to try to do this on our own, and we're going to have to cut back on, you know, suddenly on the number of teachers and other things. I will tell you what, actually, the overall achievement scores have gone up dramatically since they actually cut back on the number of teachers. Why do you think that would have happened?
Well, that is the biggest story that the mainstream media is not giving us. Over the last 3 years, government schools have been cut dramatically, yet each year, test scores have gone up fairly dramatically, with fewer teachers, larger class sizes, less money for government education. The kids are getting a better education. And the reason for that is because of all the extraneous activities, all the costly field trips that were worthless, movies and auditoriums that were babysitting, and other programs, all of them had to be cut because there's no money to pay for them, and now the teachers are forced to do what teachers are paid to do, give the children a basic education.
Well, maybe they're going to cut back on their suicide education, on their death education, on their sex education. Our kids know a lot more about the sex than they do about Shakespeare. Certainly a lot more about perversion than they do poetry. We destroy the lives of our kids. We've given them a second-rate education. And when these kids graduate, they can't compete with kids even from Lithuania and Latvia as far as achievement tests. And nobody's ever said, we're not getting our money's worth. And the teachers' union's primarily responsible for this, in my estimation. What are your thoughts?
Well, for instance, Los Angeles Unified School District, for many years, has been running a program, I believe it's called Project 10. And the purpose of Project 10 is to make sure every student in LA Unified thinks it's a great thing that Sally has two mommies and George has two daddies. And they've been promoting this program of support and promotion of an agenda that has caused many families, especially church-going families, to either move out of the city or to homeschool their children and not be in that type of climate. The other thing that they've been teaching in LA Unified for several years now is what they call peer counseling. And a lot of school districts around the state are doing that. So one kid beats up another kid. Instead of the principal punishing the kid who assaulted the other student, they put the assaulting student in front of a bunch of his peers, and they determine what's going to happen to the kid, instead of just expelling the kid for beating up somebody. And this peer-to-peer counseling has allowed the kids to feel they could do anything they want in school, because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to get yelled at by their friends. And so we have a school system in the state of California that is run a great deal by the unions, as you mentioned, but it's also run by the students. The teachers and the administrators are just happenstance in schools these days.
Well, one of the things that you have written in one of your, and I want to make sure we have this right, that in Los Angeles, in the municipality of Los Angeles, by the year 2015, they were going to be putting out about 80 or over 80% of their budget just to pay the pensions, and there wasn't going to be any money left over for the other municipal services, police, fire, and street cleaning and things of that sort. Did I get that in mention that incorrectly? This was about 5 years from now or 15 years from now? When is it going to happen?
Actually, by the year 2015, one-third of every revenue dollar of the city of Los Angeles is going to go to pensions. And at that point, you will have almost no money for anything other than pensions, debt reduction, paying off bonds, police and fire. Everything else will close. Libraries will be forced to close. Parks will be forced to close. There won't be money to clean the streets. There's going to be a whole lot of services that will be forced to be ended just to pay the pensions. Now, let me suggest this. That may not be a bad idea. It may be a better idea to allow the city of Los Angeles just to pay for fire, just to pay for police protection, and to pay the pensions, because a lot of the welfare programs that the city runs are just bad. For instance, out of Mayor Villagrosa's office is a housing czar for vouchers, Section 8 vouchers, state and federal money that go to the poor. And their policy is the first people in line for the vouchers are illegal aliens. That would have to end. And that wouldn't be a bad thing. No more vouchers for illegal aliens to get free housing in Los Angeles.
Well, Sydney, I don't know how much it costs, something like $10 billion to finance the illegal immigrants here in the state of California. Is that a fair estimate?
Actually, the total dollars are $21
billion. $21 billion? How much is it in Los Angeles? Because they're certainly the center of this whole. Do we have any idea?
I'm not quite sure. There was a national study done. And the study showed federally we pay approximately $113 billion a year for illegal aliens. Here in the state of California, it's $21 billion of that. Now, you have to remember that, for instance, in Los Angeles County, according to L.A. Supervisor Mike Antonovich, 90% of all the children born in the county hospitals in a given year are born of parents that are illegal aliens, 90%.
Well, we've got like a tiger by the tail. I don't see there's any way out of this mess. Certainly there's no way we can ever possibly pay all of the pensions that have been guaranteed and all the health benefits to the people retiring at 50 years of age, and a lot of them are out getting other jobs, and then they'll get a pension after 10 years there. So there, by the time they retire, they'll be getting two or three actual pensions.
So let me give you another pension situation that was just the public was notified about on Monday. You know that the state pension plan, CalPERS, has unfunded liabilities of $525 billion.
Now, is that just CalPERS, or is that all of them?
No, that's just CalPERS. I'm going to give you the rest.
All right, fine.
CalSTRS, which is the teacher's retirement, last year was $24 billion of unfunded liabilities, and that has grown. Then the University of California system, UCLA, Berkeley, UC Santa Cruz, etc., all of those schools, they have for their administrators, teachers, and employees their own separate pension plan, and that one is $21 billion of unfunded liabilities, and they're already trying to determine how to make it up, the $21 billion. And they've decided on two ways of making up the $21 billion. And they don't know the formula yet as to how much from which.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to put up the money? I mean, are the taxpayers going to put it up?
No.
The teachers going to put it up? The administrators?
The students are going to pay higher tuition, where the money goes into the pension plan, and the employees will start paying something into the pension system as well.
Well, of course, a lot of the money that they have, I'm sure, is invested in the stock market. If that turns down, as we fear, why, their deficit's going to be even larger. We're going to be back in just a moment with Stephen Frank. If you have a question, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well,
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Legislation that was approved by the people of California in either 2006 or 2008. Very clear. No child molester may live within 2,000 feet. Yesterday, a Los Angeles County Superior Court judge declared that unconstitutional in L.A. County only, and now is allowing child molesters and pedophiles to live right next to schools and parks. And so that's going to be, that is a major scandal, and I'm breaking that story tomorrow. So your listeners are the first to hear about it, that Los Angeles County is now open territory for pedophiles and child molesters.
Well, I think that tells us a lot about the judges that we have here at the present time. And the problem is, of course, that the child molesters, a lot of these people, you know, have psychological problems. They've raised in schools where there's no right, there's no wrong. You do whatever you want to. We're certainly subjected to pornography on the Internet. We're subjected to it, you know, in movies and all this sort of thing, to books, pornography books, readily available. At one time, communities could control this sort of thing. There, we are not allowed to control either the pornography or the predators or the sexual predators today. And how can you have an organized society when you have this social depravity, this sort, sexual depravity? And in fact, we're encouraging this in what's being taught in our schools today. But go right ahead, Stephen.
And of course, all of this goes back to the early 60s, late 50s, at Cal State San Diego. There was a psychology philosophy professor by the name of Herbert Marcuse who taught the concept of situational ethics. And this was the rage of the 60s, which is where we got people willing to violate laws, people using drugs, the so-called sexual revolution, and that on campuses, college campuses, nothing was taught that meant something, that had a foundation to it, because it was only based on situational ethics, and if your situation was different than mine, then you could do things different than I have, that there's no permanent morality on this earth. And Marcuse became a major leader nationally of other professors who taught the concept of situational ethics.
And in fact, that reminds me so much, this whole idea that no absolute, there's no right, there's no wrong. Everybody really has to make the decisions for themselves. And as Robbie Zachariah says, you know, there's some people want to love their neighbors, other people want to certainly eat their neighbors. I mean, which position do you support?
Well,
and if there is no right, there's no wrong, what's wrong with being a cannibal?
Well, of course, and that's why people like supporters of Planned Parenthood, as far as I'm personally concerned, killing a baby is murder, whether it's an individual who does it or somebody who has a medical degree. Murder is murder. On the other hand, there are those who believe that there's a gentleman from the University of Pennsylvania by the name of Peter Singer. He believes, and has written books on the subject, that you can have an abortion of a child up to the age of 2, because until then, since they are totally in need of a parent or an adult to feed them, take care of them, therefore they're not viable on their own, and therefore you can abort a child up to, murder a child, up to 2 years old. And Peter Singer is one of the advisors to the health care plan that was created by President Obama.
Well, I think that tells us a lot about President Obama, because he's got Rahm Emanuel there as well, and his brother, Zeke Emanuel, who really has come out against the Hippocratic Oath and how terrible it is that some doctors want to do what's right for their patients. That's Zeke Emanuel, the brother of Rahm Emanuel, and he is really, of course, the man who's going to be hitting the death panels. And remember, the death panels are not in the Obama health care bill. They were in the stimulus bill. And the fact that you don't know that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think are right ahead.
And, of course, we already see the death panels at work. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Berwick, who's in charge of Medicare, has determined that certain drugs that keep women alive who suffer from breast cancer may no longer be given to the women by federal order. So the first victims of Obamacare are women with cancer. And it's already an order that's in place.
Well, we live in a world gone mad. There's only a few of us who are still sane. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Stephen Frank. We're talking about the tragic situation that exists in California today because we have lost our moral foundation. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, let me tell you, there are some heroes in all this, Dr. Stan. The governor of Minnesota, Governor Pawlenty, has ordered all of the agencies of his state not to take a dime of federal money from Obamacare so that the state of Minnesota can continue to run its own health care program and allow private health care programs in that state. And there are 16 or 17 other governors who are considering the same type of action. But the state of Minnesota has a real hero, Governor Pawlenty, who either yesterday or today issued an executive order saying we want our people to live, we do not want to go bankrupt. And I might also add, as you may know, the national unemployment rate is 9.5%. The rate of unemployment in California is 12.5%. But the unemployment rate in the state of Minnesota is 6.2%. He understands how to run government based on freedom, and he's not going to allow President Obama to harm the people of his state.
Well, you know, I think that this election that's coming out later this year for the position of governor of the state of California is probably going to determine what's really going to happen here in this. You know, certainly, what is your impression? Do we have any idea what the polls are showing now, the race between Whitman and Jerry Brown?
A poll came out last week from, I believe it was Rasmussen, showing Whitman up 48% to 40. We are today 62 days before the November 2nd election. And traditionally, the election begins the day after Labor Day, which is next Tuesday. And so Governor Brown, former Governor Brown, has decided to make his run for the governorship. So it's way too early to determine. There are approximately 2.5 million more Democrats than Republicans in the state of California. So Meg Whitman does have a hard road to go, but so far she's already put in $103 million of her own money to gain the governorship, and she's going to put in a minimum of $50 million more. So it will probably be very close on election night. I think she'll be able to win it. We certainly cannot afford to have Jerry Brown as governor again.
I agree with you. I think that certainly he is a disaster, and the policies that he would bring in would be that of the radical left. He's always been part of the, not simply the left, but the radical left. So it's going to be a very, very interesting thing. I don't know why, in heaven's name, Meg Whitman would want to be the governor of the Titanic as we're rearranging the deck chairs. But if she wants to take on the captain's role on the Titanic, why, who knows? Maybe she can come up with something. But this is certainly not just California. It's a national, really it's a worldwide problem. And one of the big problems we have here in California is we're losing a lot of businesses. Businesses are losing California because of all the rules and the regulations and the emission controls and the taxation and the OSHA and Sydney. Well, is there any way to turn this around?
Well, going back to why Whitman would want to become governor, I've known many people in her circumstances, people who've been very successful in the private sector, people who have been leaders in industry and business, people who are enormously wealthy, and the reason they go into politics and to run for elective office, for governor or senator, is because they believe that they have the equipment and the mindset to turn around a business or a state. And for them, it is a challenge. It's nothing that they need to do. They don't need the money to be governor. They have all the money they could ever need. But they want the challenge of being governor. They want the challenge of being senator. They want the challenge of turning around what is, as you put it very correctly, the Titanic. And so I truly believe that's at the core of why Meg Whitman wants to be governor. She truly believes that she can turn around the state of California. As far as whether or not it can, here's the problem. Should she win, the Democrats will still have a majority in the state assembly and state senate. And she's going to wind up in basically the same position as Governor Schwarzenegger, not having the ability to have the votes to change policy, to fix pension plans. So she's going to have to do what Arnold did and go to the ballot and try to pass ballot measures to protect the pension plans and protect the taxpayers and to lower taxes and all that. And he had enormous sums to spend, but the unions just spent so much money because, for instance, the teachers union, without a vote of the members, can vote a special fee of $200 or $300 per month as an extra fee to the union to pay for the campaigns. And that's how the unions make their money. They steal it from the teachers. They steal it from the cops. They steal it from the janitors who work and work in a situation where they have to join a union, pay the bribe, or they're not allowed to work at all. So Whitman would be facing a Democrat legislature and unions that would feel like they either have to turn her to their way of thinking, or they'll just have to beat her at the ballot box on ballot measures. And we are in for, regardless of who wins, an extremely rough 4 years. And I would not be surprised, for instance, we do not have a budget until next June. I know we have the possibility of one after November 2nd. We should have one after a new governor is in. But I would not be surprised if we don't have one till next June. And this state, by that time, will have a complete fiscal collapse.
And this is really the fear of where we're going right now. When do we start issuing the IOUs? Is it now or is it next month?
State Controller Chang said in the middle of August he was going to start issuing them in 2 to 4 weeks. So we are no more than 2 weeks away from the issuance of IOUs.
Listen, here's the thing. We've got an admitted deficit of almost $20 billion. According to Stephen, we've got really $40 billion because we've got a lot of money that we've got to pay in bonds and money we've got to pay for the lawsuits that the governor has lost. And what are some of the other things? Is it pension funds that all comes up with this extra $20 billion?
Pension funds aren't there. It's $10 billion worth of lawsuits that haven't been paid, $3 billion of assets that were supposed to have been sold in fiscal year 2009-2010, which were not sold, plus $7.5 billion that we borrowed from the federal government to pay our unemployment checks. And we have to pay that back, which is one of the reasons businesses are leaving the state now, because they're going to be on the hook for higher payroll taxes to pay back the $7.5 billion, plus putting in a reserve fund into the unemployment trust fund. So that's there. Plus we have billions of dollars stolen from trust funds, from the recycling fund to housing funds to medical care funds, that have been just taken from trust funds to help cover the deficit. So the deficit is a minimum of $40 billion and probably higher.
There's no way that we can possibly pay that. That's the reality of where we stand.
And it should be noted that that $40 billion deficit is on an expenditure of $89 billion. So almost half of the expenditures of the state of California in this past year were actually deficit spending.
Well, and we're in a very, very difficult thing. And, Chris, the problem is that as more and more of the productive industries leave this state, and certainly the worst thing that they could possibly have done was, of course, these new emission controls, which is going to drive anybody who has anything to do with automotive or trucking, you're going to drive them out of the state. Now, isn't there some sort of initiative on the ballot here in November that may be able to alleviate that, at least temporarily?
There is a measure called Prop 23 that would put a moratorium on the implementation of AB 32 that will stay until there's 5.5% unemployment for 3 or 4 consecutive quarters, and that will be 4 or 5 years away. The problem is that even if we pass Prop 23, we still have a bill called SB 375 by Steinberg that was passed in 2008. And the purpose of that bill is to implement policies from AB 32. For instance, under SB 375, Dr. Stan, if you decide that you wish to build a strip mall on a piece of property that you own in Monterey, you'd have to go to the state government for approval. Let's say, for instance, you decide that you have some land in Modesto and you want to build an apartment complex. Under SB 375, you will not be allowed to build that complex unless it's close enough for the people who live there to walk to public transportation. So you won't be allowed to build a housing project unless you do that. Then, Dr. Stan, I know you live in a lovely home, but at some time you may decide that you want to sell that home and move to another part of Modesto or Monterey or Northern California. Under SB 375, you will be able to sell that house if you have solar panels on the house, double pane windows on the house, and a variety of other so-called green assets. And you will not be able to sell the house to me or anybody else unless it includes that when you sell it.
Well, basically what they're going to do then is just simply drive people out of this. Because, by the time you get started putting double-paned windows in, we have a very heavy windows and we have a few double panes, but we don't have double-paned windows on every window. That would be prohibitively expensive.
Well, I in the summer of 2007, decided that I wanted solar panels in my house. And that was my voluntary decision. I made it based on the economics of my electricity bill. And I'm pleased to tell you and your audience that since then, my electricity bill goes between 95 cents and $1.05 per month. And so I'm very pleased with the purchase of my solar panels. But to have government to force me, if I was in a position where I was going under and had to sell my house, I would not have the $32,000 it cost me to put those solar panels in, or the $10,000 or more to put double pane windows into my home. I would not be able to sell my house, and indeed my house would be foreclosed. But then the bank which took it over would not be able to sell it until they put the solar panels, the double pane windows, etc., in the house.
Well, unfortunately, when you give this authority to government, the authority will always be misused. And, Sidney, the idea that these people in Sacramento know how I want to build my house, or somebody else wants to build a house, we have a very, very warm house in the wintertime. The way it's set up, it works very, very efficiently. But these whole ideas of centralized planning is what they had in the Soviet Union, and it brought the whole system down. Where is the outcry from the people of California just to demand that we get rid of these scoundrels there in Sacramento who are passing all of this legislation, and most of them don't probably even understand the implications?
Well, the problem is a lot of these plans have been in the works for years. Over the next 5 years, they'll all be put into effect, and at that time, the people will be in trouble. And, of course, that doesn't count the fact that President Obama, with Obamacare, automatically took 3.8% of your house. If you go to sell your house, I believe it's in 2013 or 2014, you're going to have to pay the federal government 3.8% of the sales price of your house. In other words, the federal government just became a partner with you in your home. They own 3.8% of your home now. And that's Obamacare.
And because the average citizen has no idea that this was in the legislation. I suggest that probably even Nancy Pelosi didn't know that was in there. I don't think she ever read the bill.
Well, remember what Nancy Pelosi said before the passage. She said, and I'll quote her, "We will only know what's in the bill after we pass it." And that's when we'll find out. And so we are in trouble. And this is just part of the trouble.
This is why we need to get rid of all of these scoundrels, because they've created an impossible situation that is going to simply end up impoverishing our entire population.
Well, the only disagreement I have with you on that, Dr. Stan, is that because of Obamacare and SB 375, AB 32, and some others, the American public is impoverished. That is why the economy is declining, both here in the state and nationally. That's why the stock market is in the doldrums and going down. I don't know if you noticed it, but the sales of government motors, called General Motors, was down 26% from a year ago in the month of August. And starting in the month of, I believe it's October, General Motors is going to be selling a car that will go a total of 40 miles on a charge for $41,000. But if you were to buy that car for $41,000, you will get from the federal government, me, the taxpayers, $7,500 to help you pay for that car.
But the one thing about that, Stephen, is nobody's mentioning General Motors is going to lose money on every one of those cars they sell. So why would you be building a car you're going to lose money on? That doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it makes sense. After all, the Obama administration owns the General Motors, and they have told them to build these cars to open up the production lines because they want things to look good with the elections coming up in November. I mean, that's the only reason they'd be building cars and lose money on every Volt car that they produce.
And here's the big scam. you have seen in the news that the federal government is going to start selling its share of General Motors back to the public. Anybody stupid enough to buy that deserves what's going to happen to them, just like the previous stockholders of General Motors and bondholders all went belly up.
And they simply raped the bondholders. I mean, the law was that the bondholders had a claim on the company. And they just said, sorry, fellas, you no longer have a claim. We're going to give all of this to the unions.
So here's the scam that the federal government is going to have. Instead of owning between them and the unions 61% of General Motors, they're going to sell down their share, so their share is only 49%, so they could say they are the federal government is a minority stockholder in the company. But, of course, if you take the 49% that the government is going to own after the sale of stocks, which is only 2 or 3% actually, and the amount of shares given to the unions free of charge, between the government and the union, they are the majority stockholder. So they are going to be in trouble, but the trouble is going to be because they're going to lie to the public trying to claim they're only minority when they're not.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting, Stephen. As you know, they're going to be having this IPO, independent public offering, here very soon. They hope within next month, and they're hoping that people will snap up the shares. I suspect, and I hope I'm right, that people are not going to fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. I don't think the smart people are going to buy up the General Motors stock. For their sake, I hope they don't, because General Motors is transferring its production overseas. They're not going to keep it here in the United States, and they're going to find another scam by which they're going to rape the shareholders, as they did certainly before. And because they have phenomenal debts outstanding, they're shifting their production to China, to India, to Russia, and to Brazil. And they're producing cars there. They're producing excellent cars. In fact, the cars produced by General Motors in China, they're going to be again producing, bringing into America probably in the next couple of years at about half the price of the production of an American car, equally good cars. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. Well, Stephen, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program tonight. It's been sort of a little depressing program, but I think we have to tell people.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Putting out a national edition at noontime, plus one other story late in the afternoon. So there's something for everybody in your listening audience. CAPoliticalNews.com.
CAPoliticalNews.com. It's great. The price is right. I suggest you get it. CAPoliticalNews.com. Stephen Frank, thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to maybe getting you back again next week.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And, of course, it's free. I hope you'll want to get that. And now this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not, then please pray for Radio Liberty because we really are involved in a spiritual battle. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to really understand what we're up against. You need to read my three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. You need to see the DVD set, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. Three very professionally done DVDs done by our good friend Chris Pinto. And you get them all together or just one at a time. We suggest the DVDs, actually the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Most people don't understand there's an organized satanic movement here in the United States that permeates every aspect of our society. You need to, of course, get the 4-tape set on satanic crimes. There are organized satanic organizations in the United States. There's a book by the same title goes into the background of the Bilderberger Group and their relationship to pedophilia, which, of course, I believe is satanic activity. And then, of course, we have the 4-tape set on the supernatural, my interviews with Sydney Joanna Michelson, and certainly you can get her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. The Beautiful Side of Evil. We carry the book by Malachi Martin called Horses to the Devil. It's the story of five exorcisms verified by the Catholic Church. And then, of course, you'll want to get the 4-tape set that goes with that, a 4-CD set. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, and you have some fascinating interviews where we go into the background of his book on the windswept house and about the satanic ritual held in the basement of the Vatican itself. It was, of course, a feigned human sacrifice that was timed to coincide with a real human sacrifice. We have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter. A fellow used to go around to police forces across the country, and, of course, then the FBI would send out their expert to say, there are no satanic covens. There's just none of this is real. And, of course, this is a cover. There is a supernatural realm. This is what the UFOs are. This is what the crop circles are, most of them. Oh, yes, there will be occasionally a made-up one. Why? Because the last thing they want you to understand is the true nature of the battle we're involved in. There's a magazine called Skeptical Inquirer, and of course, if you read it, they'll tell you, oh, there is no such thing as the supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read the Bible and you believe the Bible, then there is supernatural, and there is a supernatural realm out there, and there is a spiritual realm, and you don't want to contact it, you need to know it's there and be aware of it. We've got a talk called The Secret. The Secret. And it's a talk I gave in Southern California. It will introduce you to the secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-316-1220. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We hope that you'll tell others about our program. Urge them to listen. Urge them to get involved. You can listen to us 5 hours a day live, 9 hours a day on our website. Replays of our programs. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Don't forget our October 17th conference.